Welcome to the Hostile Zone.
Use your voice, somebody hears you.
Welcome to the Hostile Zone, part two. That's right, part one and a part two. You're with the infamous and dangerous and always in your face, Eric Andrew Sinani, Eric A. Sinani, Big A, Eric Sinani, right here on the Hostile Zone, pulling back that curtain, that veil, right on waste, fraud, government abuse, police misconduct, government cover-ups, all that stuff. If you were on part one, if not, go and check it out on your favorite platform, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you go, Podtail, Podbean, whatever. This is the Hostile Zone Prime Time every night of the week. We deep dive into all kinds of stuff, but we started a deep dive that was so deep, folks, it required a second show, and here it is. We were discussing the mystery of aliens, UFOs. Now they call them UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomenon. We talked a little bit about alien technology, and maybe some hidden agendas at play here. I don't know. We discussed Bob Lazar.
There's really no way I can prove it without revealing my identity and getting myself into more trouble than I have already.
Exactly what's going on up there?
Well, there's several, nine flying saucers, flying discs, that are out there of extraterrestrial origin. And they're basically being dismantled. Some are in various stages of completion, built from other parts, and they're being test flown and basically just analyzed.
I was 29 years old, working on the most incredible project in the history of the world. No one has ever been able to show exactly what I saw with my own eyes, until now. Let's travel back in time to December of 1988, when this all started.
Controversial individual. Some of the things that he has stated, we talked about element 115. And if you remember, I ended you saying we're going to fast forward to 2016. I didn't forget that. He said back in the 80s and 90s about this, we have the periodical table of elements, which has, you know, all of the elements, you know, H2O and all that stuff. If you're not, this is your world. Well, I was as a physicist, graduated from MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. However, they seem to have deleted his career. But interestingly enough, he discussed element 115 way back three decades or more ago. Forward up to 2016, they now recognize that that element does exist, and it is on the periodical table of elements. Our children in school are now learning about this element that they said Bob Lazar couldn't have possibly known about three or four decades ago. It's got to be a mind-boggler. Why would this guy know about this if he wasn't involved in it? He said that this element 115 is what it was, what alien or extraterrestrial technology used for, like a fuel type or something like that. Very, very interesting stuff, because they destroyed him. You know, we talk about it. What do you do when you want to win an argument and you don't have an argument? or somebody has some information about you or about whatever, and they're going to put it out. They have to hurt you. So what do? They discredit your character. They call you a liar, a fraud. This guy, they claimed he didn't have the degrees he said he had. But there's one thing about being a physicist. This is just not something you wake up and you are and you know about. All these years later, 60-something% of America believes that this is real. Bob Lazar said it what it was, that we were reverse engineering alien aircraft way back when. He said he worked at Area 51, which is Groom Lake. It's about 68, 67 miles northeast of Las Vegas. It's technically connected to Nellis Air Force Base. They call it like the Nellis Bomb Range. It's got the famous highway, extraterrestrial highway, and it's in Rachel, Nevada. He was very specific, Bob Lazar, that he worked in a section called S4. No one, the government did not acknowledge Area 51 or the Nellis Bombing Range or whatever you want to call it. But it's really, people call it Area 51. And that's really what we're going to leave it at for today. But it's Groom Lake, G-R-O-O-M Lake. It was the dried up lake bed. He was talking about this. The government did not own up to the existence of this military installation until the 90s. Underneath President Clinton. And even now, if you look, it's everywhere. People are talking about it, but you can't get in there. And if you do, you go to jail. A lot of bad things can happen. Alex Jones talked about it on InfoWars years ago. I have a double-sided sword to this. I think that it is that, yes, I absolutely, if you want my opinion, I absolutely believe Bob Lazar. I absolutely believe everything that he said. I believe Dr. Stephen Greer. I believe a lot of these people. But I also know they use that area also for testing some of our latest equipment. Like I talked about the SR-71 Blackbird. Oh, I meant to bring it on set. After the next commercial, I'm going to bring one on the set so I can show it to you what it looks like. The fastest aircraft known to man, still to this day, was from the late 50s and 60s. How did we be able to do all that technology in that short period of time? It is still allegedly, air quoting if you're watching. Oh, I forgot to say, if you want to reach the show, it's The Hostile Zone at bbstalkradio.com. Eric at thehostilezone.com. Bianca C at bbstalkradio.com. Bianca C, S-C-A. She's not here today, but we're hoping she'll be back. She's working diligently, and I can't get on her about it. We're going to take a short break because I want to bring on the SR-71. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to introduce you to Strategic Reconnaissance 71, the Blackbird, the fastest plane that we know of. We'll be right back.
My galaxy is the home of the most epic story ever told. But then I found the cornerstone, and everything changed.
Listen up, Sig. There's only one way to say this. You messed up. You blew it. You goofed.
Jedi Pop, that's like three different ways.
When you removed the cornerstone, you created a new galaxy. Every person and every world will be different.
We've got to make everything go back to the way it was, because nothing makes sense.
It's a trap! It's a trap!
It's a trap!
It's a trap! It's a trap!
I know who can help us. The greatest hero of all time, Luke Skywalker.
Let me see if I have this right. In your galaxy, my dad is mostly evil until he turns good for like 5 minutes and then dies. My own nephew betrays me and kills most of my best friends. And I spend decades alone until I use the Force so hard that it kills me?
Well, when he puts it that way,
there is no escape.
What in the...
Excuse me!
Darth Jar Jar? Ridiculous.
Ah! Oh, time to go!
X-Wing TIE Fighters?
Ah! Ewok Bounty Hunters?
You spent your life telling stories about heroes? Maybe it's time to be one.
Woohoo! Yeah!
This party's just getting started.
We're losing power. We're gonna crash.
Scary, 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 scary.
The Force will guide us.
It will?
Here's hoping.
Ah! Oh, come on!
Welcome back to the Hostile Zone. As I said, here it is. This here is the SR-71 Blackbird. And I'm sure there was a film I think I mentioned. This is the fastest plane or jet known to man. This was tested at Karoom Lake. Before this plane was the U-2 biplane, but that didn't nearly do what this can do. The SR-71 allegedly goes roughly 3,000 miles an hour, to 2,000 to 3,000, somewhere in there. Nobody actually knows. And it flies around 90,000 feet. That's the edge of space. This would fly over a country, and this would take pictures that you could read a newspaper in Moscow, in the former Soviet Union. What do you think, Carrie? You ever see one of them fly over out there in Phoenix?
No, I haven't. But
well, I suspect this is a lot of what people were seeing back in the day and thinking it was aliens. I mean, did you see this thing?
I was watching the videos and stuff. I put it in the first part of the show too.
Did you find the one I told you where the Russian jets surrounded it? You did, right? Is that amazing?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, and you're gonna put it's it like in and
it goes. It's like all of a sudden it just goes up and
it's gone. It just I get excited about it. I love my country so much. Everybody knows that I'm a true patriot. There's nothing more exciting to me than that video. I watched it over and over again. It's a little YouTube short, but it's great because the Russians surround this thing and they chill. And the plane's like chilling, the SR-71. And then it just goes and it takes off like as if those other fighter jets are stopped. Isn't that amazing, Kerry?
Yes.
It's like they weren't even there. And it went so high. So, I mean, it's great. So you have to ask yourself, where did we get this technology for that? The whole stealth technology, the super duper speed, you know, you have to ask yourself, like I was saying on the previous episode, moving into this one. Yes, I absolutely believe that there is more out there. But I also believe, like the SR-71 and the other aircrafts that we've had there and things that they do there, it worked out really well because the government didn't want the Soviets at the time, Soviet Union, know what was happening, what we had. It was almost great for the public to be like, oh, aliens. So then it kind of made the, you know, nobody pay attention. Now, again, you got, you know, the whole Roswell, which we are on this, we are on FM and we are on the FM dial in Roswell. If you're from Roswell and you're listening to the show, reach out. I would personally love to come out there and take a look. And I know that the Roswell reporter had reached out to me and we had communicated a few times. But anyway, so I'm glad that I got to show you that plane. It's just an amazing, amazing, amazing aircraft. And again, that was like in the 50s and 60s. And it's still the fastest thing that we know. So, Bob Lazar was saying this is what we were doing. Alex Jones talks about government cover-ups. Maybe not everybody likes Alex Jones. You know, he says a lot of controversial things. Sometimes controversial is what you need to hear. All right, right, Carrie? I mean, sometimes you need that. What do I always say? Everything isn't always as it seems. Right, Carrie?
Sorry, I have baby in the background.
That's okay. We got is that the little one?
Yes.
I'll wave hi. Hi, waving hi to the little one. Tell the little one she's live on FM and iHeart and everywhere else.
Cardi, anyway. You're on the radio.
Cardi! Does she want to say hi to everybody in the world?
You want to say hi?
Go to bring her over. She'll be famous.
Cardi, I guess.
Does she want to? She doesn't want to talk about aliens? So anyway, getting back to it, there is a large story here. There really is. There's something here. I always say, hidden in plain sight. Everything is not always as it seems. And the most secretive, classified things are right in front of you. Unless if you know what you're looking for, and most people don't, they don't even know when certain government vehicles, what's flying in the sky, they don't know. It is in your face, 90% of it. There you go, in your face. And that is very, very true. And you have to ask yourself, what is real and what isn't? is there a misinformation or disinformation campaign going on? Does the government not want to tell us, or are they slowly giving us what it is we need to know? I think they'll care if, because of all the conflict around the world, I think if it were to come out that it was a extraterrestrial, in like maybe not so much hardcore invasion, but an issue, I think that might unify all the countries. What do you think? You feel that too, or
just like they did in what was the with Will Smith and
you're killing me.
It's the one about he's driving the alien spaceship.
Oh yeah, I can't remember, but I know what you're saying. I would love to do an episode on the Matrix. That could be a whole other conversation that got me into that. And you know what else is a great movie with him? Enemy of the State. Since we talk about we talk about the NSA and whatever, that's a great movie because that movie was in 1998. Take a look at what the NSA was able to do then. No one even knew the NSA existed. I mean, that's a great, great movie. Were you about to say something, Carrie?
I was trying to remember the name of that movie.
I know the one, and Men in Black. Men in Black.
No, it's not Men in Black. No. Oof. It's
Well, you think I'm going to move on my monologue. But if you got it, jump in, because you know that's how we roll here.
All right.
Public interest has grown tremendously for UFOs, UAPs, whatever. People want to know. 60-something percent of America truly believes there's something else. And we talked about this. You'd have to be really, really a fool to know, to look up, especially out in Arizona or Nevada, and you look at the beautiful sky and say, we're the only thing here. Now, here's an interesting factoid. It's not in my notes, and I'm sure you'll like this, Gary. Did you know that the Vatican has like their own little base in Arizona? Did you know that?
The Vatican?
I'm blowing a secret out. The Vatican has like its own military base, and they study space. And they actually have a gigantic telescope for the Vatican, and getting up to it is like a military base. You can't get to it. Nobody knows it's there. You heard it here on my show. The Vatican has a massive telescope. So why is the Vatican, number one, the Vatican, how did they get property in Arizona? 90% of Arizona and Nevada is federal land for a lot of reasons. So I find it fascinating that the Vatican has property there, and specifically they have scientists who are priests who are studying space. What are they looking for? Right? I don't know. But you didn't know that, and you live out there, did you know that, Carrie, huh?
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yes. And now there'll be everybody. I'm sorry to the Pope, because now everybody's going to be looking for the place in Arizona. I didn't mean to make that, but it is true, though. I mean, it's there. What are they studying? I've been there. I've seen it. It is massive. And they study everything. They know every object, and they're communicating with the U.S. government. At what level, I don't know, and I wouldn't say if I did. But obviously, they're there because most of Arizona and Nevada is federal land. I mean, especially Nevada, but a large percentage of Arizona as well is federal land, or it is tribal land, or the federal government takes away land from the tribes because then they want to build more of what they're doing. But we are seeking truth. So the relevant quote of the day is the same quote from the episode one, but I think it was so important. We are not alone. The universe is a big place. Carl Sagan. Who was Carl Sagan, Carrie?
He was a British author.
And he's famous for what?
2001 Space Odyssey.
Odyssey, right? I didn't see that. I still should have saw that since before part two.
Yeah, I remembered that movie. It's Independence.
So you did see it?
No.
You saw it?
No.
I never saw it.
Will Smith movie.
Oh, what was it? What is it?
Independence Day.
Oh, what a great movie. Absolutely. Hands down, good call, Carrie. That, yeah, there you are. Carrie's always on point.
So when they are you know, finally figure out how to like break their shield that, you know, shield them or whatever, then all these countries where those big things were sitting did work together. Yes. And at one time, right, did it. So, yeah, I think everybody could come together and take care of
that. I think that the enemy of our enemy is our best friend. And I think as much as North Korea, Iran, Russia, whoever doesn't like us, the second somebody else invades Earth and potentially could take all of us over, I tend to think we're going to be standing next to every one of these countries defending ourselves.
I agree.
I hope we never get to that point that we have to have that kind of battle. I hope that people come in peace. Do you know, not in my notes too, but do you know that the Voyager that they sent out like 40 years ago is still traveling? Did you know that, Gary?
No, I didn't.
Do you know what is now? It is now left our universe.
Oh, yeah?
And do you know it communicates back still?
Space station?
No, it literally communicates. This was sent down in the 60s, and I don't have it in front of me as a note. Maybe you could pull it up on your computer there. It was I think it's called the Voyager, and they launched it in the early 60s. It's a satellite, and it was supposed to circle the entire universe so we could see everything. And it kind of, they launched two of them, and one of them got lucky, and it got sucked into, I want to say Saturn, and it gave it like a super push. It is still going. The battery was supposed to not, it was supposed to survive, and it has a solid gold record on it, like a record player, like a 33 back in the day. Solid gold, and it's embroidered. It's in there. So if somebody found it, it says, we are human beings, and we explain to whoever found it who we are. Well, did you find it? Wait, did you look it up, Kai?
Oh, I didn't know you meant now.
Yeah, yeah. Because well, it's an interesting, it's not in the notes, and I think it's very, and I know about it, but I don't want to get botted and trolled. But I can tell you this. It communicates now with something. Stephen Hawking's had an issue with this. Just so if we can pull, I'm sure there's some file footage on that somewhere. It's communicating with something, but we don't know. And now we're thinking maybe it should be turned off because it actually left our universe. Like it passed Pluto and everything. And it's still talking. And it's communicating with something in front of it. But we don't know what. You heard it here. And I'm sure Carrie, my executive producer, will find it. And you'll see that it's communicating. And as soon as you find it, jump in. So in 1989, Bob Lazar claimed that he worked on alien spaceships, spacecrafts, using element 115 as a fuel source. And then, when, like I said, fast forward to 2016, it's actually known as Moscovium, Moscovium. Fascinating enough, here's a man that they discredited him. They destroyed him in the media. They brought up criminal charges on him for things he didn't do because he was opening his mouth. And in 1989, he mentioned that this exists. And they said, hands down, it doesn't. Fast forward 2016, our kids now have that on the periodical table of elements. Pretty amazing stuff. Did you find anything on the voyage, the satellite?
Yes, they did. It all right, says, tell us. Voyager 1 and its twin, Voyager 2, are the only spacecraft ever to operate outside the heliosphere,
yep,
the protective bubble of particles and magnetic fields generated by the sun. Voyager 1 reached the interstellar boundary in 2012,
yep, while it left 2, our universe. Yep.
Traveled slower in a different direction, and it reached it in 2018.
Now, did you read anything about it's communicating with somebody?
No.
It's talking to somebody. Type away on that one there while I'm moving on. Jump in as soon as you got it. I just love that this element 115 that didn't exist, and they said Bob Lazar was a liar, and they brought up criminal charges and blah, 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 men in black at his house. Now our kids have it on the periodical table of elements. And Bob Lazar is working as a physicist in a lab right now. So how's he doing that if he didn't actually study it? Right? You got something, Carrie?
No, I'm still looking.
It's there. Trust me. Keep looking. And see what Stephen Hawking said about it. So is this proof that Lazar's claims are true, or is this a scientific coincidence? Carrie, what's the saying about coincidences, right? Isn't there like a saying for that? That things aren't, like I always say, things aren't always as they seem. Coincidences sometimes aren't a coincidence. I don't think it's coincidental that in 1989, he said that this existed and the government swore up and down that it didn't, tried to ruin this guy's credibility and career. And now it's on. Now they recognize it. Alex Jones also spoke about it. What's your thought? What say you?
I don't watch those things, so I don't know.
I love this stuff. I really do. I mean, I'm not a ufologist. I love knowledge. So Alex Jones is like famous for all kinds of things he said, and he's been right on a lot of stuff. Whether or not you like the things he says, and a lot of it is rough, and you don't want to hear it. But sometimes we don't want to hear the truth. Let's be real. Sometimes we don't want to hear the truth. But Alex Jones has a long history of saying things about the government that ended up to be true. I hear you breathing. You have something?
Oh, I'm reading it. It's talking about, I see their mission status.
It's talking to somebody.
It's been up there for 47 years, but I can't see anything where it says it's communicating to.
I'm going to pull it up. Watch this. Voyager 2, right? Which is the first one? Voyage, which one made it further?
Well, it said they went in different directions and they both got into the same outer sphere, whatever that was.
All right, I'm pulling it up as I'm talking to you. Okay, here we go. Okay, so the Voyager, Voyager spacecraft. Let me see Hawkins. Let me see what it's because he had something to say about it too.
Who?
Hawkins.
Oh.
Yeah, because he's talking about black holes and the Big Bang Theory. He also spoke about that it's time to turn this thing off. So basically, when I'm saying that the Voyager is communicating with something, it's referring to the fact that it's transmitting data that it's getting from distant regions, and it's sending it using DSN, which is Deep Space Network, to the Earth. And it's sending a series through a series of radio antennas spread across the globe. So we can get it from anywhere on the Earth when it's coming back. And these signals may take many hours to reach the Earth. However, the data does get here. What's being said? Let's look it up. We're doing this right here. This is great. This is an interesting show. Did you see anything else, Gary?
No, I was looking to see a video of Stephen Hawking. There's one where he says he's questioning the universe.
Yes. And he's saying maybe this Voyager has left our universe. Literally, it's gone, but it's still talking. And nobody can seem to understand how it has enough energy to do that. They're saying it should die soon, but it should have died years ago.
Yeah,
and
it's like I said, it was up there. It's been up there for over 47 years.
So this DSN program, just so we know, there are three stations around the world. There's one in California. There's one in Madrid, Spain, and one in Australia. And that's where we have antennas and receivers set up at these locations to communicate with that. And they use X-band radio waves. I don't want to get too deep, but they're talking about plasma density, cosmic rays, magnetic fields. There's a lot of stuff going on. But bottom line is, it is a lot of people are saying, what is it communicating with? And are we now communicating or going somewhere where we shouldn't be going? Did we advance too far by letting this thing travel as far as it did? Because it's still traveling. The purpose of it was to look at our planets in our universe. And Pluto, they always bounce as a planet, not a planet. Is it a planet, right? I think it's a planet again. Is it a planet now? Because they took it away and brought it back. Because they change it all the time. I don't know.
They should just quit picking on Pluto.
Yeah. Let's see. I had to say Pluto. Let's see. It's back in 2006. They reclassified it. It's still an ongoing debate. There we go. According to Alan Stern, the principal investigator of the New Horizons missions that flew by Pluto in there, he criticized the whatever. Okay. So is it a planet? I don't know. But it passed Pluto, which is the outer ends of our universe, and it's still traveling. And if it's communicating, it's kind of like, you have to think of this as like in a regular, and jump in and help me out, Gary, because this is like totally not in my notes, and I knew we were going to go off like this. But is it talking to something maybe we don't want to talk to? Did we now violate and go in somebody else's backyard? I mean, we have our area, you know, but now it left out. It left. Maybe it's time to turn it off. And there was, I almost am sure it was Hawkins that said, this thing should not be communicating anymore because we don't know what we're talking to and what we might be disturbing. Because we don't want to bring stuff to us that we don't want. And
but how do you know that unless you do it?
I don't know, but I mean,
how
did he know all the stuff that he knew? It's just amazing, right? But, I mean, I want to pull the research on that, and we will, because it is just a fascinating thought that if this thing is communicating, who's it communicating with? And we are receiving it, and we receive messages all the time. There's stuff coming from the moon to us. Is actually, have you ever heard the what Earth sounds like in space?
What is that?
Do you know that we put out a sound? People can hear us, like what we transmit. It's kind of crazy.
So, like, we listen to them, they listen to us.
Yes, yeah, and I will pull up the clip and send it to you because I have a clip of what it sounds like, what Earth sounds like out from out there. The Mars rover, and other things have actually heard it and then sent it to us back, so we can hear what we sound like. So we are the Earth is putting out all kinds of stuff. Now you can also go, interestingly enough, kind of in my notes, 50-50, the most spottings, people seeing UFOs, a lot of times are around areas of nuclear significance. Did you know that, Karen?
No, I didn't.
Yes.
So they probably are scoping for fuel, right?
Now, this is what Dr. Stephen Greer says, and he has a great documentary out there, and he's saying, and others too, that when we detonate nuclear tests and stuff, it actually does send stuff out into outside of here, you know, and it leaves Earth and goes out into space and it disrupts. And he's saying that they're coming, Dr. Stephen Greer says that they're coming in a good way to try to tell us this is not what we should be doing. And when we are testing nuclear stuff, we're actually damaging other people's world. Very that deep makes, stuff. It's a, but it makes sense, right?
It makes sense, yeah.
And if you look at for instance, Roswell. You know what Roswell was in 1940s, 47, when this happened? Roswell was an Army air base, and that's where they had the bombers that could drop nukes. That is where one of the bombers squadrons was stationed out there. You got White Sands, Proving Grounds, all that. I've been out there, not specifically to Roswell, but I've been out to White Sands and all that. And that's what was there. So it makes sense, right? And then you look at the other places overseas that have had alien or UFO sightings and interactions. It's always around military installations that have significant nuclear interest. Look it up, folks. Not in my notes. I went off on a sea hole. We're going to have to cut a commercial so we can keep going. So there's whistleblowers been coming out recently. Luis Elizondo, he's a former high-ranking member of the Pentagon. There is a secret program, and we're going to tell you here. Most of you probably didn't know it existed, but we're going to talk about it here. It's called ATIP, the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. That program ran, at least from what I know and what is supposedly listed, roughly 2006 to 7 up until 2012. ATIP was intentionally there to study UFOs, UAPs, all of these sightings. And this gentleman, Elizondo, has come forward and speaks about this. Now, some people saying he might be a mis or disinformation person. I don't buy into any of that. I think there's a lot of whistleblowers who have come forward. A couple people in the Air Force have come forward and said that they found biologics. Have you heard about that one, Gary?
Just look from up, when you were talking about it in the other.
Yeah,
the
look
first
it up.
Part.
Right, do it right now. Biologics, Air Force whistleblower. He was in charge of the program, and he came forward to Congress, and everybody watched it, and it was on TV. Maybe not everybody saw it, but you should have. And he said that we are in possession of aircraft that is not ours, and we are in possession of biologics, meaning living matter. There were bodies, and they had to actually take the congressional hearing, and you'll find his name in a second. He's big. And he had a very clean background, very vetted. I believe News Nation broke the story. They went on it hard. And he sat there with other pilots from the Navy that have had experiences with the Tic Tac. This ATIP was highly, highly black budget. Black budget didn't exist. This was something they didn't talk about. You found out about it in 2017, but it had been on for years. Now, Project Blue Book, which I mentioned in the first episode, goes way back. That was an Air Force project that goes back years ago. They were studying this stuff.
Was it Jeremy Griffith?
Was he an Air Force major? And he was in charge of checking inspections. He was directly charged from Congress and the White House to be the person to oversee the investigations. And he was stonewalled. He was denied access to things. And he has several documented witnesses and people have come forward that we do have beings and aircraft. Why would somebody with a career like these people have at that level? Why would they come out and be the whistleblower? And why would, like, even like going back to Bob Lazar, it ruined his life. Why would these people come forward but for if they're not telling the truth? This is not like they don't, this is not good fame that they get. People suffer disinformation and they ruin your credibility. And you got to worry that your brake lines are cut one day in your car. But I forgot the name of the program. Did you find it, Karen?
No, I'm still trying to
find it. I'll have it right here. I'm going to pull it up right now. I'll get it right here. All right, here we go. David Grush, G-R-U-S-H. He is the Air Force whistleblower, gained significant attention in reports involving unidentified flying objects, which now are UAPs, aerial phenomenon. In particular, during his testimony before United States Congress in 2003, Air Force intelligence officer David Grush claimed that the United States government had recovered non-human biologics from UAP crash sites. This statement was part of a broader narrative surrounding the potential recovery of alien and life forms, sparking a massive debate. And he alleged that the government was involved in covert programs to study and reverse engineer these technologies. I don't want to go into what that is. The person, it's David G-R-U-S-C-H. That's who it is. And he said, we have biologics. What a shocking statement that is. If you could find that and we could dub that in, that'd be great.
If you believe we have crashed craft, stated earlier, do we have the bodies of the pilots who piloted this craft?
As I've stated publicly already in my News Nation interview, biologics came with some of these recoveries. Yeah.
Were they, I guess, human or non-human biologics?
Non-human, and that was the assessment of people with direct knowledge on the program I talked to that are currently still on the program.
Because the look on these senators and congressional people's face when he said that, and he's sitting with like four other people, high-ranking people that are whistleblowers, people in the, and Elizondo, I think, is in the row behind him, like a guest sitting behind him. And he talks about ATIP and all this stuff. You got to ask yourself, why do these people say these things, blow up a whole career? For what? Unless if they, but for they know that this is true and they feel we need to know. A poll reveals that 75% of viewers believe Elizondo is restricted by national security. So that is an interesting fact, because when you work in that world. Did you hear that?
Yeah, what was it?
That's a fire, but it can't be a fire. We have to pause. I got to look and make sure I don't have a fire. Okay. It's never gone off.
All right.
It's a big house. I'm just checking every room. Maybe somebody triggered it. Okay. Nothing's on fire. I found that to be interesting. First time that ever happened.
Rand Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
Hey, And, you know, they're saying, because you're in government, when you work in intelligence, government, you know, all the different national security stuff, there is, you sign basically like an NDA, a non-disclosure, except this one's very serious on the government side that you could, a lot of bad things can happen to you. So 75% of people believe, I mean, they identify that he did work in this position, but 75% of people believe he's not saying everything because of his, the non-disclosure stuff. And because maybe we're not ready to hear the truth. The Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program was a highly secret U.S. government program that studied UFOs or UAPs from 2007 to 2012. Its primary goal was to investigate aerial threats potentially representing advanced foreign technologies or of non-human origins. I'm going to say it again, of non-human origins. Why would we be dumping all of this money into a black budget? Congress didn't even know. When the black budget comes out, it's black, and they have project names on them. Everything's a project, a code name. Like, for instance, the SR-71, Skunk Works. That was a project that operated out there. Skunk Works worked on all these spy planes. Elizondo was part of ATIP, and he gained public attention in 2017 when its existence was revealed alongside declassified videos showing our U.S. Navy highly trained fighter pilots attempting to follow and chase a Tic Tac. You remember that video, Karen?
No.
Look that up. We'll make sure we put that in.
On November 14th, 2004, Commander David Fravor and his wingman pilot took off from the USS Nimitz, which was on maneuver south of San Diego.
I was the commanding officer of Strike Fighter Squadron 401, the Black Aces. We're flying brand new Super Hornets. It was an air defense exercise. Two good guys against two bad guys. Probably 70 miles, 60 miles off the coast in the gap between San Diego and Ensenada.
Suddenly, the pilots are contacted by radar operators on the Princeton.
The Princeton control comes up and says, we're going to suspend training. We have real-world testing.
The pilots are re-vectored to a new destination, but aren't told why.
So we start heading off to the west. The other airplane is on my left-hand side.
I was the junior pilot trying to keep up with the senior pilot and the lead aircraft.
We're looking. We don't see anything on our radars at all. And we're talking to each other trying to figure this out.
The Princeton's Aegis Spy One radar system is powerful enough to track an object as small as a baseball at an altitude of 80,000 feet, but the jets are flying blind.
We tried to see what was out there, which is difficult when you know what you're looking for. It's even harder when you don't know what you're looking for.
So it goes down 60, 50, 40, 30, 20, gets all the way down. They get to a point where they can't separate us from the blimp. They call it merge plot, which means you're in the same space as whatever you're looking for, and you gotta start looking outside because the radar can't help you anymore.
Then far below in the water, they see what looks like a plane crash or a submerging submarine. But the weapons officer in the rear seat of Fravor's jet spots something else.
I hear, hey, Skipper, do you see? And as he's saying that, I notice the Tic Tac. It's white. It has no wings. It has no rotors. I go, holy, what is that? And he goes, I don't know.
According to this leaked summary of the incident, contact was made here, 30 miles off the coast, 70 miles south of the U.S.-Mexico border. At first, the strange craft stays close to the surface, moving unlike anything the pilots had ever seen.
This thing would go instantaneous from one way to another, similar to if you threw a ping pong ball against a wall. And we start to kind of orbit, because now we're going to watch this thing. We start a right-hand turn, and we're going from a clock code. The object is in the middle of the clock. And we're at 6 o'clock, and we're driving around the circle. So we get to about 9 o'clock, and it's just still doing its little erratic thing, kind of moving around this disturbance in the water. And I go, hey, I'm gonna go check it out. I'm gonna go down there. As we're coming down nice and easy, we get to about the 12 o'clock position, and all of a sudden it goes, and it kind of turns, and it's mirroring us, and it starts coming up. We're like, okay, now it knows we're here.
It seemed to be aware. And it seems to recognize him.
It goes from basically just almost a hover into a pretty aggressive climb up to our altitudes when there's a bit of fear because now you're out there dealing with something that you have no idea what it is. It's actually reacting to what we're doing. I'm kind of pulling nose, you know, to where he's going to be, and he's coming up. He just rapidly accelerates beyond anything that I've ever seen, crosses my nose, and it's gone. And I'm like, whoa.
The Tic Tac appears to have vanished. But as the jets streak towards a prearranged rendezvous location, known as the cap point, the radio chatter becomes frantic.
The controller from the Princeton comes up right as we're doing all this and says, hey, sir, you're not going to believe this. He goes, but that thing is at your cap point.
According to Fravor, the Tic Tac accelerated from a standing position and flew approximately 60 miles in under a minute, as fast as 3,700 miles an hour. How did the Tic Tac know the pilot's cap point? And how did it accelerate so quickly?
You got something that can accelerate and disappear and then show up 60 miles away. Kind of in awe a little bit, because you go, whoa, we don't have that. You know, and I'm talking, we're flying one of the premier airplanes on the planet. What was this? There was a capability out there. Don't know where it's from. Not saying it's from outer space, but not saying it's from here either.
Back on the Nimitz, the pilots tell the rest of the squadron what just happened.
The next crew is getting ready. So we're talking to them about this, and they're like, you gotta be kidding.
They took us seriously, and the Wizzo, the guy in the back seat, said, I'm gonna go find it.
The next jet to launch had a targeting pod with an infrared sensor and camera.
It jammed the radar, but he got a lock on it, and that's the video that you see. That doesn't weird you out. I don't know what does.
Ever thought about turning your spare change into serious investments? Let me introduce you to Acorns. This app makes investing as simple as one easy swipe of your credit or debit card. With Acorns, every purchase you make rounds up and invests the difference. Watch your future grow one swipe at a time. Start small, dream big. With Acorns, every bit adds up to something significant. Download Acorns today. Acorns.com/share. Or use your smartphone camera and scan the QR code on the screen, or enter my referral code 56XJQPC. Again, referral code 56XJQPC, and get $5 for free, compliments of me, to start investing today just by downloading the app. Download Acorns now. I'm Eric A. Sonati, the host of the syndicated radio TV talk show, The Hostile Zone, right here on iHeartRadio.
It was the U.S. Navy off of the coast of San Diego, Mexico, San Diego. The U.S. Navy fighter jets were out there, and they got some, and the footage was leaked. And you could hear the pilots talking to each other saying, this is not possible. And the video shows them trying to lock onto it at the high rate, and it dips into the water and comes back out and shoots up to the sky. It just does amazing aero things that you just can't imagine happening. The program was technically, officially shut down in 2012. However, many believe its research continues under other initiatives. Now, we know that NASA recently opened up a new department, and there was a lot of question as to who the director was because they were not saying it. And again, under FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, and because they are a government agency, people were wanting to know. But NASA did work on that. Now, in 2024, reports estimated that 80% of UFO sightings could be explained by advanced defense programs. I believe that. Like I said, a large percent of them were the SR-71. And I'm sure that there's other things out there. I know that there are other things out there that are going to be better than this. So when they are whipping around the sky, and you see stuff, it is kind of, you know, you don't know. But when the government has a program to investigate which ones are not of human origin, you have to ask yourself what's going on here. The U.S. is spending $800 billion annually on defense with cutting edge technology. Is that out of that $800 billion, is that what is being mistaken for extraterrestrial? I don't know. UFO debris. Oak Ridge National Laboratory, also known as ORNL, Oak Ridge National Laboratory, has analyzed a lot of pieces of stuff that were found, and they concluded that it was of terrestrial origin. You heard it here. Check it out. Oak Ridge National Laboratory. Check that out, folks. Despite the findings, 40% of UFO researchers believe evidence is dismissed too quickly, and it makes people call for transparency. Remember that whole thing in Vegas, what fell out of the sky, and people saw stuff, and even the cops responded and believed it? Remember that? Like last year? And no. I said again, that happened in Vegas. There was a lot of people saw it, and people said they saw somebody run after. It was a boom. I mean, it's a great video. The dash cam on the police car picked it up. Whatever came in, flew into Vegas out of the sky and made it a loud boom. And then people in the neighborhood said they saw like beings running and stuff. And they actually followed it up. There's body cam footage of the cops showing up to interview people on this. This was in Vegas. I think it was last year. 85% of Americans support full disclosure of government research on aliens. I'm one of them. I believe in it. We could go on and on, but we're coming to a hard close, so I'm going to wrap this around for you. We've examined the evidence. We've heard from some of the experts. Look up Bob Lazar. Look up Alexandro. Look up Dr. Stephen Greer. Check these people out. I will be putting stuff on social media for you to look at. There's decades and decades of rumors and speculations. Whether it's the Pentagon denying alien contact, Bob Lazar's claims about Element 115, or Alex Jones' theories about a global cover-up. I don't know. It's for you to decide. I report. I give you my opinion. I think there's something out there. Carrie, my executive producer, thinks there's more. But who are we? I'm not an astrophysicist, but I mean, I like to believe I'm an intellectual. I know Carrie is. And I think that you look up in the sky and you just have to say something else is there. But it is, what do you believe in, folks? The truth is out there. We're all awaiting the truth. We want to know, is our government playing games with us, or are they trying to protect us? We don't know. Maybe they know. Are they going to tell you? Probably not. As always, 180 degrees forward, 180 degrees behind you. Your head on a swivel, 360 degrees times 365 days a year, because the bad guy in danger doesn't take a break. Extraterrestrials don't take a vacation, so we shouldn't either. That's the fact. There it is. I laid it out there. So I want a special thanks to Miss Bianca C., who's going to close us out in honor, pride, glory with her beautiful angelic rendition of the national anthem. I always give special thanks to my executive producer, Carrie. Thank you. You do a wonderful job. Now, Seabrook Films, wonderful, wonderful job. We are going to move into the historical closing quote. And it's the same one again, because I felt it was so important. We are not alone. The universe is a big place. Who said that, Gary?
Carl Sagan.
There it is, Carl Sagan. And we are ready for the corny, funny joke of the show. You ready?
Okay.
Why don't aliens visit Earth? It's a good one. Why don't aliens visit Earth, even though we all believe they do?
You know, I can't even come up with anything.
Because they don't want to get caught up in our conspiracy theories.
That is awful.
But I know, I'm terrible, folks. I'm terrible. Well, hey, listen, I have to stick with FCC. I don't want to get a fine, so my joke can't be that great. Maybe if you catch us on Patreon or somewhere else, we can have some more fun. Folks, thank you very much for coming out to the Hostile Zone. We appreciate you. It's with you that we have success. Our team thanks you. I thank you. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Reach out if you have any additional information. I think we're going to be covering a lot more on this moving forward. We're going to take it to Miss Bianca with her angelic voice. Good night, America. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, for the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare. was still there.
And she's not going anywhere.
Oh, say.